will. And listen carefully, every word he says, God has certainly been blessing him by what God has done in his heart and his life. All right, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Amen. Thank you, sir. If you'll take your Bible and turn with us today to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 59. It certainly has been a blessing for us to be here. And I've enjoyed my time here, and I hope that I can be a blessing to you as well as to your pastor. Isaiah chapter 59, I want to look at one verse, Isaiah 59, and we'll keep our markers there. I want to look at a couple of other verses that I'll mention after we have our scripture and prayer. But Isaiah 59 and verse number 19, if you found your places and if you're able, will you please stand in reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord. Isaiah 59 and verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Now I'm real interested, and I'll be expounding upon the last statement made in this verse. Again, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as I bow in your presence, I want to thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord today. Thank you, our Father, for the wonderful songs of Zion and the fellowship of the people of God. And I pray, Lord, now for your servant as we come to expound the good word of God. May your unction and anointing be upon us, that the word may go forth, energized by the power of God, and be effectual, Lord, working in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Lord, you know every need of every heart that's here today. And I pray, God, that you'll do a work and accomplish a work, your word, a work, your will. And I pray, Father, we'll submit to it. And I ask you, God, to drive back every opposing force of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost to take the reins of my heart into this service, bring us to that atmosphere of worship. May you do a great work here today to the glory of Christ Jesus our Lord. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You can be seated. I want to read a couple of other verses with this verse in Isaiah 59. The book of Song of Solomon, chapter 6 and verse 10. The Bible said, "Who is she that looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners?" Interesting. As the church is being described there, as terrible as an army with banners. The word banners there is the same word as flag or standard. And then in Psalms chapter 60 and verse 4, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." Selah. God has given a banner, God's given a flag, a standard, if you please, to that Christian, that individual Christian, to them that fear thee. Now, all three verses that I've read in your hearing this morning have to do with banners or flags. They all refer to flags. And all three of these verses have to do with these flags being lifted up in fight against the foe. And I want to preach today mainly from Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19 on this subject: flags in the fight against the foe. Flags in the fight against the foe. Well, I notice you have several flags. This church has flags everywhere. And I look at the Old Glory, and I'm glad to be an American. And I know that our liberty did not come cheap, and it does not abide cheap. But I think about men that shed their blood to give us this liberty. One of the most impressive things I've ever seen in a flag display happened back in World War II in the South Pacific. And I think the mountain was Suribachi. and the Marines that had fought in great cost of American lives and all kind of men wounded and killed in taking that mountain. But against all the odds of the well-dug-in, deep Japanese who occupied and being outnumbered, actually, my friend, they fought the good fight, and of course they reached the top, and when they got to the top, those Marines raised that flag, and there was a photographer there, got a picture of that, and now there's a memorial in Washington, D.C. And as they raised their flag, and when they raised that flag, they said, "We have taken this ground. We have won the victory." And that flag was an ensign of the victory that was won, and also an encouragement to those that were still in the trenches fighting the good fight. And so this flag was lifted in the fight against the foe. Well, now we read in our text, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard, lift up a flag, if you please, against him." So think about that thought this morning for a few moments. I want to mention, number one, if you take notes, you might write this down. Notice here the enemy of the church. The enemy of the church. Notice the first statement of this sentence. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. I would mention, number one, the seasons of the enemy. Notice he says when. It's not an if, but it's when. The enemy is out to do us in. The devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And there's no such thing as if the enemy is going to give you a trouble. It's the fact he says when. And of course, when I look at that, that's true individually, but that's true congregationally, that's true nationally. In fact, I think about our nation, man, if there's ever been a time when the flood tides of evil have come in like a flood in our land, it is this hour. It's this hour. When the seasons of the enemy. Then I mention, as I think about that, I think of that Satan is the enemy. Notice here, he calls him the enemy. It's not enemies, plural, but the enemy, singular case. And the Holy Ghost will lift up a standard against him. And I believe that him, and I believe that enemy is the enemy of our soul, the devil, Satan. I'll tell you, he's the deceiver, and he's the destroyer, and he's out to bring men to damnation. Satan is the enemy. Then notice not only the seasons of the enemy and that Satan is the enemy, but notice the stratagems of the enemy suggested here. When the enemy comes in. When the enemy comes in. I want to tell you what. Satan does his best dirty work, if you call it that, if I may call it that, not from without, but from within. Boy, I'm telling you, it's not the outside forces that is causing churches problems today. The devil likes to get right inside, within he works. He uses things to work within the fellowship church, Heritage Baptist Church. Let me tell you, the devil is out to stir trouble in the church. He wants to harass the church. He wants to defeat the church. I look at the statement that he makes when the enemy comes in. And a lot of times in the church, the devil uses things within the fellowship to wreak havoc with. I think about accusations. You know, the devil likes to get us accusing one another, looking cross-eyed at one another and judging one another and accusations. Another thing Satan uses is animosity. He tries to get us to get a chip on our shoulder against a brother and get a little bit aggravated, irritated, and let that thing fester. And boy, if you can ever get it festered up and get it, I'm telling you what, Listen, friend, the devil will get a foothold in the fellowship, and he likes to work within the fellowship. He'd like to get you mad at your brother and to get you full of unforgiveness, because if he can get you irritated, aggravated, a brother or sister, and he knows he's got you defeated, you can't get your prayers through, because if you regard iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. And if you won't forgive a brother of their sin against you, then how can you expect God to forgive you? Animosity in the church. Oh yes, the devil works within. He gets anger. He sows anger within the church. I know we can rub each other wrong. I know we all don't see everything eye to eye. But you know what, brother? Look up here, sister. We can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable. Say amen right there. Oh yes. And the devil uses these tactics and stratagems in the church. Attitudes. Boy, uses attitude. Boy, people just get the attitude. They get an attitude like, well, some people get the attitude, well, the church can't do without me. I'm going to tell you what, the church can do without you. And the church can do without me. But we can't do without God. We got to have, amen. Hey, brother, listen. Attitudes, you know, well, you know, if I'm not in the spotlight, if I'm not recognized, I'm not doing anything. Well, who are you doing it for anyhow? If you're doing it pharisaical, you're doing it for the praise of men, and you, that's the only reward you'll get out of it. But if you do it as unto the Lord, then have a right attitude in the house of God. The devil likes to mess up our attitudes. I thought about another way Satan works within the church, and this is a good one. Absentees. Hello? I don't like preaching to what we call back home the Wood family. They had a lot of empty pews. I mean, the devil likes to get you. He'll do everything in his world, in the world, to try to get you to just not go home. But Johnny had 101 temperature last night, and I've got to stay home and wipe his snotty nose. Pardon me, I'm from the South. But hey, but what amazes me, some of these folk, they'll stay out with a 101 degree temperature out of church, but they'll go on to work with it on Monday. Hello? Do I hear anybody? Well, I'm telling you what, friend, we got a lot of excuses that ain't going to hold water. You know what? You know what I found out? I found if you feel bad, you ever just, well, I just don't feel like going to church today. Boy, look at me. Look up at me. If I waited till I feel like it, I wouldn't go a lot of times. I just wouldn't go. I don't want my feelings. We Baptists are bad about feelings. The first thing we do, we come to the house of God. We reach out our feelers. How you feeling? We ought to say, how's your faith, brother? We want that faith. But boy, I'm telling you what, I have felt bad and really, even physically. Just, you know, coming down with the flu or feeling like, you know, just feel like crud. You know, just feel like awful, man. You just don't feel like I found out, praise God, that ain't no time to stay out of the house of God. Amen. I found out, if you come on, get there. Hey, did you know there's healing in the house of God? Did you know there's help in the house of God? Did you know there's health in the house of God? Boy, I'll tell you, I've been down and I've been through the trials, and I went through a time of darkness and heartache like you wouldn't believe. But you know what I did? I made up my mind. I was going to be right there in the house of God. And I sat right down there in the house of God, so defeated, so discouraged, and couldn't hardly lift up my head. But they got to singing the old-time songs of Zion. And the Holy Ghost got to moving and anointing that. And the next thing you know, my head was lifted up a little bit. And my friend, that preacher man, got up and preached that good word of God. And it was just like pumping up with an old-timey tire pump. My soul, I got to, amen, strengthened, and I got blessed there in the house of God. Amen. Well, there's help in the house of God. I have a preacher friend back home, pastor a great big old church, I think around about 500 or 600, and he said that he has encouraged his people over the years that even when you're going through times of bereavement, that is no time to be out of the house of God. And he has a special pew designated for those who are grieving. Hey, you ain't going to get any help out yonder. You ain't going to get any help laying out of the house of God. You get sick. Here, one of the dumbest things I ever heard from being out of the house of God. Well, I'm discouraged. You ever hear that? Well, preacher, I got discouraged and quit coming. Well, you dummy. Well, you don't get encouragement in front of the poop tube. Get in here where the people of God are. The devil ain't going to encourage you. Hey, don't stay out cold. You're discouraged. Who don't get discouraged? Everybody's got a cross to bear. Everybody's got a heartache. The devil loves to get us out of the house of God. Because he gets us out of the house of God. I'm telling you what. And you don't know if you lay out that day that God may have had the very answer to your need and you missed it that day. Satan uses absentee. I'm talking about he works within. He uses something else he uses, and that is he uses this old apathy. People just so indifferent, just don't care. All they care about is themselves. That's an enemy's tactic. Satan uses arrogance. People too rotten proud to humble themselves before a holy God and weep and cry. Oh my soul! Satan uses all types of stratagems in the fight against the people of God. Anxiety, you could go on and on and on. I'm talking about the enemy of the church. The seasons of the enemy. The Satan is the enemy. The stratagems of the enemy. And then there is in this verse the strength of the enemy. When the enemy comes in like a flood, man, that river gets out of the bank. Man, it can move and twist metal bridges. And it's a powerful water in a flood stage is a powerful thing. In fact, you can see the powerful invading enemies described like a flooding river in Isaiah 8 and chapter 8 and verse 7 and 8. Even here in Jeremiah chapter 46 and 8 is a good one that shows you how this metaphor of speech is used to talk about strength. Egypt rises up like a flood, and its waters are moved like rivers. And he saith, I will go up and cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. So the enemy comes in like a flood, man. It seems like you can't have a flood. I mean, it'll sweep you and sweep things. I saw years ago in the mountains where I'm from in North Carolina, I saw metal bridges. I'm talking about steel erected bridges that were just wadded up and like you'd wad up a piece of aluminum foil. I just twist them up, and all it did it was just the waters of a flood. You saw what great devastations can be worked through a tsunami there in Japan and all the devastation it wrought. The enemy coming in. And you know, there's a tsunami taking place, it seems like, in our land right now. The wickedness is abounding everywhere. And the enemy is coming in like a flood in our land. Man, and what in the world can we do? You have the enemy of the church. But don't stop there. Keep reading. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, now we're going to talk about the energizer of the church. The Spirit of the Lord is the energizer of the church, and He energizes the church in response to the onslaughts of the enemy. I want you to know God said this in Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. God can turn the flood tides of sin. The Holy Ghost still has the power to raise up the church like a marching army, and my friend, and attacks the gates of hell. And the Bible said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that is not a defensive position. That is an offensive stance. It's not that the gates of hell are attacking us, but that we're attacking the gates of hell. And I want you to know, with the Word of God and the light and the power of the Holy Ghost, the church is energized. The Spirit of God energizes us, and we need the power of God. Jesus said, and ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. I want you to know there's power to serve the Lord. He said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. Well, the energizer of the church. But let's go a little further now in this text. Not only the enemy of the church, he energizes the church, but number three, the ensigns of the church. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard. This word "in" means ensign, standard, flag. All words that are similar, synonyms. And the metaphor of lifting up a standard that's here is a metaphor describing an armed resistance. Amen? And boy, you can see that metaphor in Isaiah 5:26, Isaiah 13:2, 18:3, 31:9, as well as in our text. The enemy's coming! They're attacking! But we're not turning tail and run, but somebody lifts forth them colors and they lead the charge against the enemy. Standards. Let me just mention a few things. I can't deal with these. I hadn't time. The standard is a signal of war. That's right. The standard is a signal for gathering. Can be used that to gather rally around the flag. The standard is for direction and order. A lot of times back yonder before the modern ways of communication, they used the standard, the flags, to instruct the people. They could see from a distance certain flags. Gave certain messages. I can't help but think about when Wellington was fighting that Napoleon. They had a great battle, and the way the news traveled, they used signs, they used flags to send messages with flags. You know how that could do on the ship. And Wellington defeated Napoleon. And they sent the message to England. They were waiting, they were worrying in England. And they got the news, but there was a great fog that settled down in England. But they did get out enough of the flag message. It said, "Wellington defeated." And everybody's heart just sunk. But when the fog lifted, the rest of the message came through, "Wellington defeated Napoleon." Hey, I'm telling you what, you can get some encouragements if you see the right flags sending forth the right message. The standard is for direction and order. The standard is an ensign of victory, like I mentioned earlier. And the standard can even be a signal of peace, you know, like under the white flag. But notice here, here's the crux of my message. Notice that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And I want to talk about some standards that the Holy Ghost will lift up against the enemy. Some standards that He'll lift up against it. First of all, let me say this. When the enemy comes up, we're talking about the enemy, the devil. When he comes up, here's a standard the Holy Ghost will lift up. Number one, I call it the standard of preaching. Oh, yes. Isaiah 58 and verse 1, "Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sin." God uses preaching. You know, preaching has a sour connotation to a lot of people. They'll say, "Don't preach at me." I'll tell you what. I think about preaching. I thank God for preaching. If it wasn't for preaching, I'd be in hell. But for preaching, you didn't have no hope. Every one of you got saved because somebody preached. God chose through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching to the world. It's foolishness, but to us which believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. I want you to know I'm glad that preacher man plowed my payroll and my friend brought that gospel to bear on my soul, and God, amen, took that gospel dynamite and blew the devil out of me through the preaching of the Word of God. I'll tell you what, And when the enemy comes in like a flood in the church, it ain't no time to tiptoe through the tulips. And my friend squirt rose water. They said sometimes that man of God, it's not always the case. I know we're supposed to feed the sheep, but every once in a while you gotta fleece them. Cause if you don't fleece them, they'll get bugs in them, and they'll get diseases in them. And hello, and God has a job for that pastor to do, to preach and feed the sheep. But there's sometimes that shepherd has to take, amen, drastic measures. Hello? By when he sees the wolf, when he sees the lion, when he sees a wayward sheep, sometime he'll preach and bust your hide. And I believe, and I'm for hide busting preaching. Come on now. Well, I know how we are. Boy, here's the way we Baptists are. That preacher will be plowing somebody's tater hole, and this person will look over that person there. Boy, amen, preacher, really preaching, knowing they're guilty of it. But when he'll come down their tater row, he'll go, he done quit preaching, gone to meddling. But I praise God for preaching. Preaching develops character. Preaching develops faith. Preaching the Word of God. I mean, it's the Word we preach. You say, why do you preach so loud? Well, he didn't say whisper and talk. He said, lift up your voice and cry loud. Spare not. Amen. God wants you to hear. I want you to know, brother, God's Holy Ghost, when the enemy comes along, he'll lift up the standard of preaching. Here's another standard. He'll lift up the standard of praying. Here's another standard. God said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I know there's a lot of things going on in our land that we cannot seem to, my friend, to get a handle on. But I'll tell you what, the church has a key of power that is unlimited. We have a God that still hears and answers prayer. And we ought to be a people of prayer. In fact, we have the keys of this thing for a Bible that's been entrusted with us. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. God will use the standard of preaching when the enemy to lift up against the enemy. And God will use the standard of praying. In Psalm 15:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Who was it that said that little statement? Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. You might not be able to preach. You might not be qualified to preach or called to preach. I believe there's a lot of folk preaching that were mama called and daddy sent. Hello. But God sends preachers. God puts men in the ministry. It's not. I didn't choose this right. Hey, folk, this is not my vocation that I chose. God put me in the ministry. My family thought I went crazy. They threatened to send me to the mental hospital when I started to preach. Of course, some of y'all might think I ought to have been there. But anyhow, brother, listen. God uses preachers. And amen. When the enemies arise, God will use that preacher. And that preacher will get in that word. And that word will get a work in his heart. And he'll have something for you that will help you when the enemy attacks you. The enemy comes in like a flood. God uses preacher and God uses prayer. And then another standard, and I ain't got time to deal with all this. There's the standard. Here's the standard of the Lord to lift up. The standard of praise. Oh, yeah. You know, a good example of that is in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You remember that when Jehoshaphat and Israel were being invaded, and you read a few of these verses, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Now listen at this. And when they began to sing and to praise, The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Boy, hey, they didn't have to fight in this army. They just had to praise God. Sometimes you can put the enemy to flight if you'll just say, praise God. Sometimes you just have to say, praise God anyhow. Amen? I'll never forget my pastor one. Man, he's about defeated. The church had been struck by lightning and burnt down to the ground. They built a fellowship hall, and he got on his coveralls and worked himself to a frazzle. And I mean, come in there one Wednesday night as we were meeting in the fellowship hall, and wore out, been working all day, didn't feel like preaching. Got up behind the pulpit, and I saw him up there talking, but he couldn't hear what he was saying. And later on, he told me, he said, Brother Rudy, I got up in the pulpit, and he said, before I read my text, said, the Lord said, Curtis, said, I want you to praise me. And he said, Lord, I don't feel like praising. He said, I didn't ask you if you felt like it. I want you to praise. And I do remember him doing this. He headed out this way, and he said something like this. Y'all, now this is for you folk up here that said, hallelujah. This is Southern, all right? Here's the way he went. Hallelujah! Feel it or not. And he stepped on this way. He said, glory to God, feel it or not. He went around and prayed, God, feel it or not. And by the time he left that building, bless God, everything in there was a feeling. God was praised. Sometimes you can put the enemy to flight by just simply praising God. I heard, you know, some of these preachers are so dignified and so politically correct trying to be. And I heard some preachers that... this preacher preached about praise. He used that term a lot, praise God, feel it or not. And the fella got up after him, and you know, he had something a little smart to say about it, and said, you ought not, you know, to be so light and frivolous about praise. And the old man of God that followed up, he got up right behind that bird, and he said, well, praise God somehow. Sometimes you just praise God. I mean, have you got anything to praise God about? You breathe it, aren't you? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. So God uses praise. And God said in Psalm 107:8, and this is mentioned in that time, five times in Psalms 107, He makes the statement, oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and His wonderful works to the children of men. There's a lack of praise among God's people. We'll be praising God for His goodness and His mercy. My soul, we got so much. We're so far behind in our praise. And you know what the mark of apostasy is? You know what the great mark of apostasy is? Find it in Romans chapter 1. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were they thankful. We ought to be a thankful people. We ought to be a praising God, giving God the glory. Amen. Give God the glory. Praise Him. Praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Amen. Praise Him. We used to sing a little song with our children. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him in the evening. You know, praise Him. Praise Him. Hey, we ought to give God glory. We ought to be praising God. You say, well, now, I just don't believe in all that fanatical stuff. I'm just not a fanatic. Oh, yeah, we know about your kind. You say, well, I'd praise God. I'd shout if I couldn't help it. Well, the devil'd shout if he couldn't help it. You'll get it in a minute. I believe in praise the Lord. I believe you ought to give God the glory. You say, well, I don't want people to identify me. Hey, I don't care if they call me a fanatic. I'm a fan for Jesus. Say amen. And some of them birds that look down their nose at me that are too dignified to say hallelujah and pray, or hallelujah, or however you want to say it. Praise God. And, hey, some of that crowd will go to the ball field. Come on now. And somebody will kick a field goal. Woo! They'll holler like a panther. But they have the audacity to call me a fanatic. Because I say praise God. I'm trying to get there. Y'all help me out. We'll get out in a little while.
Hey, give God the glory!
Amen.
Amen. You say, well, Brother Reed, but I'm not emotional. Oh, you're not emotional. Stick your finger in a light socket. I'm not emotional.
Oh, yeah, some of you ladies are so dignified, so nice. You're just so quiet and refined and dignified. And you think it'd be so... Hey, I like to see it when God falls. I've seen God come and move in His power. And these women get to weeping and crying. And by the way, can I just stop and say, it was an old shouting granny woman, my friend, that was a praising God in the Spirit of the Lord, that brought conviction on me, a sinner boy. Oh my, so she was praising God. She had so much wrong with her, but she was a praising God while the man of God was a preaching. I tell you, it was more than emotions. It wasn't wildfire. Hallelujah. It was God's people rendering the calves of their lips even praise unto the Lord.
Some of you, ladies can, you'll say you're not the shouting kind, and
yeah, a lot of you feel like that. I'm just not the shouting kind. Yeah, we know about you too. You cleaned house all week. You've shampooed the carpets. You've got everything immaculate in that house. And the old man comes trampling in. He's been in a mud skull. Or out in the garden, he comes walking across your freshly shampooed carpet. And since you're not the shouting kind, you say, "Hon, I've been working all day cleaning this carpet. Would you please vacate the premises and wipe your feet? Because you're not the shouting kind." It's all right to laugh. We ought to be praising God. He's worthy of our praise. There's a standard, and I'm done. I've got to be done. I mean, really, I've done preached till 2:04. As long as I ever preach. There's a standard of practice we could mention. Having your conversation honest among the judges. Well, our manner of living. We ought to practice. Bless God. I believe God's people ought to be a holy people. Amen. I believe we ought to live right and pay our bills and pay our... Come on now. I believe we ought to be fair and honest and up above board. Say amen. I believe we ought to practice a standard of practice. There's a lot of preaching going on and very little practice. We ought to walk the walk and talk the talk. The standard of perseverance. Staying with it even when it gets rough. The standard of patience. You have need of patience, brethren, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. But we need to have patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's a standard. There's a standard of passion. I'm done with this. Passion. I'm not talking about lust. I'm talking about love. We ought to love one another. Amen. We ought to be tender-hearted and forgiving one another. Love one another. We need to love each other. By this shall men know you're my disciples, because you love one another. That's a standard. That's a standard the enemy will lift up. There's so much hatred. There's so much ill will. There's so much evil out. I'm telling you, when God's people love one another and care for one another, and reach down and lift up that brother that stumbled or hurting, and loves on, and nurtures them and helps them. Oh my soul, that is a standard. Amen. That's a standard God lifts up against the onslaughts of the enemy. The devil can't drown love. He can't stop love. I'm telling you, love will prevail, the love of God. I'm telling you what, God so loved the world that He gave. Christ loved the church and He gave. And Christ loves you and me. And gave Himself for us. Thank God for His mercy. So we have, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Flags in the fight against the foe. Let your light shine. Amen. Rally around the flag. Let the Holy Ghost lift up some standards in this church and in your life against the onslaughts of the enemy. Let's stand together all over the house for prayer. We're going to have an invitation in just a moment. Our Father, In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll take this message and challenge this people and instruct hearts. And I pray, God, you'd work a work and you'd be glorified through it all. God, we know that we're living in a wicked age. But Lord, we don't just need to sit back and cuss the darkness. We need to light a light and hold up a standard. Lord, we're in a mess as a nation. And the churches, a lot of churches are in a mess. A lot of God's people are in a mess, Lord. We need for the Spirit of God, because He has to author it. We can't do anything in ourselves. But the Spirit of the Lord will lift up some standards. Help this dear man of God to lay back his ears like an old plowing mule and pull the plow, gospel plow, and preach that good word of God, whether they like it or lump it. God, I pray you'd help him and empower him, encourage him. Help your people, God, to pray for him. Hold up his hands. God, I pray you'd help us to be a prayerful people. And help us to be a practicing people. Help us to be a persevering people. Help us to be a people full of the love of God. Take the message now, Lord. Speak to hearts. Have your way. We'll praise you for all that's done. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor's coming and we're going to give an invitation. We'll sing what number, brother? What are we singing?
Let's pray. Father, would you help us today? Lord, would you call those who do not know you as their Savior, not sure they're on their way to heaven? Dear God, I pray right now that today would be the day that they would get saved. Lord, that they'd have a home in heaven. Lord, those who have accepted you as their Savior but have not followed you in believer's baptism, Lord God, that they would be baptized today. Those that are looking for a church, Lord God, I pray that they join. Lord, now speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and you say, Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, I'd sure like to know that. Right there where you're sitting, you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Right there at this moment, all you have to say is, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and be my Savior today. I pray to God that you would do that today. What a terrible thing to go through life without knowing a Savior. All of us are sinners and all of us, we need Christ. We need a Savior. If you're here today and you need a Savior, I'm going to ask you to step out of that seat, walk down this aisle, and let me show you from the Word of God. I can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Pianist is going to play. You're here today and say, Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. Just step out. Come on right now. Accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior. Won't you come right now? Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I just don't know that. Won't you come? Let me show you from the Word of God. God wants you to know that. That'd be a terrible thing if you had a God in heaven that said you can be saved and have everlasting life. And He not give it to you? Are you kidding me? Jesus loves you. You're here today and say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come? Let me show you from the Word of God. You may be here today and you say, Preacher, I have accepted Christ as my personal Savior, but I have not done what the Heavenly Father told me to do, and that is I have not followed Lord and believer's baptism. And I need to do that today. Why don't you come right now? We're ready. We've got the water for you. We've got clothes for you. We've got towels to dry off. You come right now. Preacher, I need to take care of that. Why don't you come right now? You're here today and you say, Preacher, we want to become members of this church. This is where God has led us to be. And we want to serve God here. Why don't you come at this time? One more time, you're here today and you say, Preacher, I am not sure I'm saved. I am not sure that I have a home in heaven. Oh my, come and take care of that today. Come on. I want to get saved. I want to know Jesus is my Savior. I haven't been baptized. Well, you come on. We'll take care of that. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism shows that you've already been saved. You're saying, I believe it. I just want people to know it. I want people to see it. Go down in the water, up out of the water, illustrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this wonderful message that certainly grips our hearts and reminds us of where we're supposed to be. God, help us to remember about your salvation for us. Help us to remember where to praise you and glorify your holy name, to be thankful. Lord, I pray today that you'd speak to our hearts, Lord, work in a mighty, mighty way. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've given to us. And Lord God, I pray you'd bless this time. Now, Lord, as we take an offering for our preacher today, I pray, Heavenly Father, that we'd be blessed and we'd be encouraged to encourage him in the things that he is doing for you. Lord, bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.